7858. T, how do you spell that?
I'd like to reconvene the Redevelopment Agency meeting that we had, and we just came out of closed session. And, Brian, do you have anything to report from our closed session?
We have nothing to report.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Board Member Barreau?
Here.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Fonzie?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Here.
All present? Okay, we're going to go ahead and start the regular city council. No? Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to get a motion for approval of the agenda.
I'd like to get approval of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Second. Roll call, please.
Board Member Barreau?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Okay, this is the time for community forum. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the board on any matter not on this agenda and over which the board has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. The board may take action to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. A maximum of 30 minutes will be allowed. Is there anyone in the public that would like to make a comment this evening to the Redevelopment Agency? If not, I'll close the community forum part. The consent calendar, we have one item on the consent calendar, which is the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero, the 2010 meeting schedule. Do
move
I
approval?
Second.
Fine. Is there any public comment or anything on that? Fine, thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
I didn't catch who the second was.
I did.
Thank you. Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Barreau?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes. Okay.
Public hearings, we have none. Management reports, we have none. Are there any board announcements or reports? With that, I'll adjourn the Redevelopment Agency meeting and turn it over to Mayor Fonzie for the City Council meeting.
Thank you. We'll go ahead with our City Council meeting, and our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Kelly, would you lead us, please?
Yes. Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Barreau?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Fonzie?
Here.
All present. Thank you. And our next order of business is approval of agenda. Do I have a motion for that?
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Clay?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Barreau. Vote, please. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes. Our next order is business involves the consent calendar. Is there anyone in the public that would like to remove an item from the consent calendar? Seeing none, I will ask that we have a motion, or is there anyone that would like to remove an item from the consent calendar on the board?
Move to accept the consent calendar the way
second.
It is.
Okay, moved by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilmember Barreau. Roll call vote, please. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Excuse me. Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie? Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
And next is our updates from the city manager. And our city manager is not here tonight, and so Jim Lewis, our assistant city manager, will be filling in.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. Just wanted to share a few good news, things of what's up and around the community. A wine bar and restaurant will be opening downtown on Monday named Haven. It's adjacent to the Spa Central Coast. We've heard that's something the community's wanted for some time. They'll be featuring some of the micro wineries around the area, particularly Tascadero, so I think this will be something neat for us. Again, they open Monday. Their hours during the week will be 10 to 8, Thursday through Sunday, 10 to 10. So we're pleased about that. We had great discussion today with a potential business, a tenant, a restaurant tenant for the Denny's location. I think it's a great fit for the community, and I think it's a restaurant several people have been asking about for some time. So we're very pleased that negotiations are going favorably that direction, and it seems that we may have somebody there. And Colony Square continues to proceed well for the community. If they haven't seen it, the foundation, the footings have been poured, the foundation is being poured, and is going to be completed very soon. So we'll have a big cement pad or slab, if you will. They expect to be coming out of the ground. There's quite a bit of steel actually out of the ground, but with block and other materials beginning next week. So the theater is coming quickly.
Question?
Go ahead, Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. And I see rapid progress over at Rite Aid. What will be going on that corner?
So the Rite Aid project involves a brand new Rite Aid with a drive-through pharmacy on the front. That's the building everyone sees. Looks like it's going to open next week, the way they're building it. And that's not true, but Warren's department still has some check-ins to do on them. And then they are proposing new retail use along the back, which is something we were interested in. It'll be significant retail use, so we'd hopefully have several new retail opportunities in the community.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good news and congratulations to the Haven Wine Bar. That's excellent.
Yes. Roberta, yes. A lot of times people wonder why the city manager isn't here. Maybe we ought to let people know.
Sure. I don't know if you're aware, but the city manager's wife took a fall, and she has broken some bones in her arm and wrist and is having some fairly significant health issues from operations. So he is with her this evening.
Thank you.
We all wish Cheryl well and Wade as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's move on to our community forum. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak. Please approach the podium and state your name and address for the record.
Address is required.
That one right there. Okay. My name is Tom Farrell. I'm the pastor of Atascadero Bible Church and representing the Ministerial Association of Atascadero. And I'd like to ask if we could bow our heads in prayer. And I'd be happy to also pray for our city manager's wife, Cheryl, during this time as well. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and just again ask, God, that we might just see your hand in the affairs of this community and in this city. And Lord, tonight especially we think of Wade's wife, Cheryl, and pray for recovery. I know the break was pretty serious, severe, obviously, and the reactions that she's having. So, Lord, we do pray for a good recovery and a good outcome as a result of the surgeries that she's had. And Lord, as we think about our own community, Lord, we know the economic realities have hit full force, and so our thoughts and prayers and hearts go out to those who are unemployed and underemployed, and we ask for opportunities for them that they might be able to provide for their families. And Lord, the opportunities even for businesses in our own community and the expansion of business and commerce, Lord, that Lord, we know that provides jobs as well. And so we would ask that just more favorable news would come and that more businesses would prosper in our community. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to be a part of such a great place. I pray for the public servants here tonight and those who are serving right now, even as we meet to keep this community safe. God, keep them safe. Keep them from harm as well. And so we just commit this evening to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and staff. Joanne Main, 8940 San Gabriel Road, and I'm here on behalf of the Atascadero Chamber. Wanted to invite everyone to our monthly mixer that's going to be held Thursday, January 21st at our library. And the library has many things in store for us. As they said, they'll have food and wine in the stacks. I think it'll be quite a unique event. As well as the library is also embarking on a big fundraiser this year, and a few of us are going to be dancing with the Atascadero Dancing with the Stars to raise money for funding of the new library project. So more of that will be unfolded later. I'd also like to draw attention that we will be doing our annual dinner on the 23rd of January at the Pavilion, and it is a sold-out event. It's an event where we honor our champions in our community, the business people that work hard all year long. I think in front of you, you received a copy of our legislative goals for 2010 as you approach your strategic planning. I don't think I'll read it all, but I think it's in the record, I believe, but we just hope that you look at our points and take them to heart. We do endorse the current city management and staff and encourage the city council to continue empowering the city manager and all city departments to implement policies and procedures that expedite the permit and planning process. It is important to continue the Atascadero is open for business theme. Atascadero wants to be known as a pro-business community that wants good economic growth and stimulation to preserve the quality of life desired by residents. You are to be commended for reducing paperwork and increasing the flow of work that goes through your office and permitting people quickly. You've done much work in cleaning up the zone text to be inclusive of business, not exclusive. There is still work to be done, though, on the 10,000 square foot building limit that triggers the CUP process. You're also to be commended for the business stimulus dollars for permit fees in the downtown and are encouraged to continue such programs and look for new ways to stimulate business. Creating access and installing improvements for the stadium park to allow public use and create a tourism asset is always going to be on our list until one day it can happen. We need to keep putting that out in front of us just like you did for the community center. We also enjoy all of the lake park improvements that you're doing because that is also developing another community asset. We wish you well in entering your strategic planning process and hope you take these to heart. I'm also going to pass over to Marcia our annual end-of-the-year report for all of you to look at, and we can discuss it at some future time. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joanne. I have a quick question before you leave the podium. I am unclear about the review of the CUP process with triggers for a 10,000-square-foot limit building is still to be accomplished. Could you explain what you mean
by
that?
Well, right now, when a building reaches that square footage, it automatically triggers a 10,000-square-foot CUP. If you had policies in place that said if you build a commercial building that is X and Y and Z, you can go forward, whether it's 5, 10, 15,000. It's like if you set up these parameters for people to know what they're getting into at the start, then you'll get more buildings that might be able to house some of these larger businesses other than creating small 5,000-square-foot storefronts that we become the incubator for business. We hatch them here, but then if they need a bigger space, they have to go elsewhere. So that's just something to consider in the long-term plans.
Thank you for the clarification.
And then, Roberta, to avoid the CUP, a lot of them will just go short of the 10,000, you understand. Right. It's just not a good policy, in my opinion.
So, something to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Would anybody else like to speak to the council tonight? Seeing none, you're missing your golden opportunity. I'm going to close the public comment at this point in time. Bring it back to the council for public hearings. Our first is authorization to join California First statewide AB 811 Energy Efficiency Financing Program. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This item before you tonight is an authorization to proceed with a second phase of the AB 811 program. This one would be sponsored by San Luis Obispo County. It would allow us to join a statewide bonding organization that would provide more opportunities for people that live in Atascadero to install energy-efficient improvements. So the recommendation tonight is that we enter or issue a letter to San Luis Obispo County that would show that we are interested in participating in their program. We've been working with them for the last couple months on getting this program up and running, and this does seem like this would be a good second option, including the option that we already have approved with the Powerhouse Company. In terms of what the community impact would be, is what AB 811 is it's a special financing program that would allow individual homeowners and businesses that are located within Atascadero to voluntarily enter into a special funding district that would be applied to their property, which they could then install energy efficiency improvements on their buildings or structures, as well as potentially rooftop photovoltaic solar energy systems, and that financing would be provided through this bond issuance, and then that could be paid back over the next 20 years. In terms of the fiscal impact, this will require some additional staff hours. We're estimating that it will require approximately 200 staff hours working with the county over the next year or so to implement the program. The program does have a $12,500 participation fee, but county staff has assured us that the county will be covering the fees for the city, so there should be no cost in terms of direct dollars for the city of Atascadero. So just a little summary. I know we've gone over this before, but I just hit the highlights of what AB 811 is. It is a new state law. It's completely voluntary. It does allow property owners to finance renewable energy improvements, which would be like your rooftop solar systems, as well as energy efficiency improvements, which would be additional insulation, new windows, those sorts of things that would make your building more efficient. It also includes water efficiency improvements, so gray water systems and things like that that save water could also be financed. The bonds that pay for these improvements are paid back by the property owner or for a period of 15 to 20 years, so that reduces your monthly cost quite a bit. One of the benefits of the program is that if you sell your property after, say, 3 or 4 years, you don't have to pay the full cost of the improvement. The remaining bond is passed on to the next property owner, who will then enjoy the benefits that you've put into the structure. So it allows somebody that doesn't plan to be in their house for 20 years to still put these improvements in, realize the benefit, and then the next owner can share in the cost. It also eliminates the large upfront cost of putting in all the improvements at once. Typically, these systems, you're looking at $20,000 to $30,000 in improvements. And ultimately, it ends up reducing your utility bills and reducing dependence on fossil fuels. So the California First program, this is a statewide program that is just being set up. It was developed and administered by the California Communities and Renewable Funding LLC. They are set up to start accepting applications for funding in 2010. Right now they're working with San Luis Obispo County as well as a number of other counties across the state to get this program up and running. So these resolutions of support or participation, they're collecting these across the state so they can figure out exactly how many communities are interested in participating so they know how to size the program. Now, this is in addition to the pilot program that the council approved in November, and that program is by a different consultant. That's Powerhouse Services. We're going to be doing a smaller pilot program with about $750,000 in funds. That will fund improvements, we expect, to about 30 residences, and that should be rolling out this spring. We expect that those improvements to potentially start going in over the summer. We think the county program is probably going to take a little bit longer, so we expect the pilot program to be the first phase and then the county program to be the second phase. Some of the benefits of the California First program would be that it's large enough that we can also include the commercial and industrial properties. I know that was an issue that the council's raised before, so that would give us the opportunity to include those as well. There is going to be a requirement under the California First program. It's called the loading order requirement, but what that basically means is that the buildings are going to have to be brought up to a higher level of efficiency before any energy improvement systems can be put on. So that means insulation, energy audits, new windows, those sorts of things will have to be considered before you could put a renewable energy system in under the California First program. So as I mentioned, San Luis Obispo County is only one of 14 counties that are participating in the program. Basically, by the city participating, this will make our residents eligible for participation. The county is going to also have the program, so the unincorporated areas of the county will be able to participate. And the adopted resolution, or the resolution that's contained in the attached staff report, is necessary for us to participate. I mentioned the program fees already. Those will be covered. And finally, the approval of the resolution doesn't necessarily commit us to paying any of the fees. We do have an opt-out later, but as I mentioned, we've been assured by the county that they will be covering those fees. So staff is recommending that we do the following. First is to discuss any questions that the council has. These are the recommendations that we've got from the county and the state on how to administer this hearing. They want to make sure we do conduct a public hearing and take public testimony on this item. And then if we wish to proceed with participation, we should adopt the draft Resolution A that is contained and attached to the staff report. In terms of alternatives, we could opt not to join this program and just stick with the existing program we have. That is an option. And we like I mentioned, that would still be available whether we participate or not. And that will conclude staff's report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. I think I saw Council Member Barrow first.
Okay. You mentioned commercial and industrial. Does the county also cover multifamily? Like apartment buildings, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it would cover any types of structures.
Okay, thank you.
Council Member Kelly?
Yes, I do have some questions. You say that the county assures us that the $12,500 will be covered. The county was here a few months ago presenting a homeless program that they wanted the city to join, and at that time they said there would be no fees to the city, although shortly thereafter I believe they came back and said it will be $10,000. How do you put the assurance in place that it will not cost the city any money?
Well, we believe that there is a grant available that's going to cover these city costs. City staff's assured us that they will cover the costs. We do have the opt-out. So for whatever reason, if the county can't actually cover the costs, we can't always opt out.
Okay. Another question, the loading order requirement. Do you have any idea how that would function? I mean, there's going to be some significant cost, I think, for somebody to come out and audit the house and determine what will have to be done. And is there any financing available for any of that type of work along with any of the solar panels or anything?
That's all included in the program. So the first step would be what they call the energy audit, where some firm or company would come out and look at the property, make calculations about how efficient the building is, and they'd make recommendations on efficiency improvements that should be made to the structure, as well as the renewable energy systems like the photovoltaic as well. And then you would finance the entire package of improvements together.
Okay. And then my last question is, at the last city council meeting when we were talking about the treasurer's report, I think there was a statement made that it would take 64 additional hours that would cost about $3,000. That comes out to roughly $47 an hour. And you're talking about 200 hours, which is 5 weeks of work, and comes close to $10,000. Could you tell me where that money and the manpower would come to manage this project?
Well, it'll come out of your existing staff, and it will be achieved by basically reprioritizing existing projects and making time available.
Okay.
Yes. In regards to the loading requirements, to me, I think that could discourage some participation by homeowners and such, but the fact that we have our own program, that's not required, is that not right, Warren?
Yeah, the pilot program won't require the energy efficiency audit, but the California First program does.
Okay, and then in regards to the $12,000 that you say the county will pay, there's one word in here that says If these fees are not covered by the grant, the county of San Luis Obispo, and the word is may, it doesn't say will, may pay.
They've assured us with a couple emails that they will cover that. If not, we've told them and we've written in our letters before that we may exercise the option to opt out.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Other questions? Councilmember Barreau?
As a follow-up to Councilmember Clay's question, don't we have some kind of, not prerequisite for energy audit, but we're going to encourage that they do an analysis? Because it does make some sense that, you know, you wouldn't want to put photovoltaics if you've got a house with no insulation. And I mean, we have some system set up in our program, Tuscadero's program.
Definitely that'll be encouraged, because just from the homeowner standpoint, it's cheaper for them to save energy than it is to generate energy, so they may get more bang from their buck with new windows than they actually would be with an energy system. The contractors will work with each homeowner to explain to them what their best options are. I think most will find that it will make sense to make some improvements. But under the pilot program, it wouldn't be required that they make those improvements.
So it's just not required, but we are encouraging it.
We're going to encourage it just because that information is just helps make a decision.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Kelly?
Is this a program that we can enter into later on, say once the county gets it all put together and they debug it? Do you have the opportunity to come on board later on?
What they've told us is that we need to give them this resolution of participation by the 18th of January to be in. If we don't, then we won't be able to participate. Now, I don't know if that doesn't mean in the future there might be another option to get in, but right now it sounds like this is the only option.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. And if I understand some of the questions that have already been asked, we are basically giving our community the choice whether they want to do the audit or not. It's in their best interest, certainly, to choose between the alternatives of some systems you could put into your home or business, or you could do some things that basically reduce energy consumption. But that's a choice that our community would have.
Yes, this is really all about additional options for the public. So the whole, all these programs are optional to begin with, plus we'll have two different programs with different requirements, so people can pick and choose between those as well.
And my understanding is we were one of the first cities researching options in this area, and what I understood talking to folks around the state, that the more options, the better. If there's several programs, that none of them are, of course, mandated for our community, but if there's a city program and a couple of county programs, it just means there's more opportunities for folks to get the financing if they choose to. So it doesn't hurt to have more programs, in a sense, from a community choice standpoint.
That's what staff thinks.
And as I understand the way staff's recommendation is worded on page 31, the last sentence is, with the understanding that San Luis Obispo County will pay any associated fees. So if we adopt staff's recommendation on the motion, it includes the assumption that the county is going to cover the cost one way or another.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, just,
yes, go ahead.
Just an observation. I mean, I think the solar part is important. It doesn't matter whether you retrofit the house and do all that. You're still going to get the savings, you know. Ideally, do them both, but the solar, to me, is important if you can get it in and it's, you know, a 20-year proposition, right?
Councilmember Kelly?
I think the program is a good tag-along for commercial and what have you. Although I do have grave concerns with the amount of money that the city is going to have to pay to implement this program.
Is there a question? I'm sorry, but we can't discuss at this point in time.
I'm making a statement that I have some grave concerns.
I think we would do that after the public comment. Other questions?
Well, let me just clarify the point brought up by Councilmember Kelly. My understanding, if I understand staff, is there is not a hard dollar cost to this program. Of course, there's a cost when we look at the cost related to staff time, but we as a council are simply prioritizing this project over another project, and the cost will be absorbed under current operating costs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Councilmember Kelly?
Could you tell me what other projects would be put on the back shelf to accommodate this project?
I couldn't give you a list right now. I think it's not that a project would be abandoned, but the timelines on some existing projects may be stretched out as a result.
Would this be handled by the planning department, planning and building department, or which department in the city would actually be affected by this?
Community development will take the lead on it, but I do believe we'll get support from finance and the city manager's office on implementation, so it'll be spread between a couple departments.
With your bare-bones staff that you have right now in dedicating 200 hours to this project, what impact do you think that would have on the citizens of Atascadero in getting their building permits processed, business licenses, and what have you?
Well, I think it's going to be, that is a challenge for the department over the coming months, and that's something that I'll be working with the city manager's office to try to figure out exactly how we'll maintain levels of service. But we do have some staffing challenges, but we're trying to figure out if this is a program that we want. If so, then we'll figure out how to provide that service as well.
Councilmember Clay?
Well, wouldn't building permits would have priority, right, Warren?
Yeah, building permits in the building department wouldn't necessarily be involved in this program. It's planning's the lead on this, but yeah. We do have some staffing issues in planning right now that we're working through.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I've just got one. Do we know if there's going to be any difference in interest rates charged between the first project or California First? Is there roughly equitable?
I imagine they'll be in the same ballpark, but they won't be the same just because of the way bonds get issued. There's always different factors involved. So I imagine they'll be within, you know, 0.5% of each other, but they probably will vary.
And is there any cost savings for the city in partnering with the county that they'll pick up a larger piece of the load for us? Or really is that 400 hours, 200 hours pretty set?
That's a staff estimate. I think that's somewhat elastic.
Okay, very good. Let's go ahead and open this up to the public for comment on it. Please approach the podium.
Joanne Main again. I understand your concern about staff hours, but I want you to think on this other side, flip side. This project has potential economic stimulus for our business industries right now in creating jobs. There's a whole lot of work that's going to be done that's not been done because money hasn't been available. So don't lose sight, please, that this is really going to have some stimulus money coming into our town and creating jobs. And that's one of your forefronts of your goals is your economic development for our community. And this is one terrific way, not to mention being environmentally sensitive. We want to be known as one of those communities that's going green, that's providing those kinds of things. So I'd say keep up the good work and let's keep this going. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Len Colomarino. I'm a resident of Atascadero. This program sounds very appealing. There are no obvious costs, just the ones that Councilman Kelly was probing for relating to the staff time that's going to be devoted to this. That should be manageable, as Mr. Frace said, and it looks to me like it would be a worthwhile investment of staff time to make this opportunity available. I think one of the most attractive parts of this is it makes clear that it's available to industrial and commercial users. And that, I think, offers tremendous potential for this program. It's hard to know, sitting here looking at this in the abstract, just how it's going to work out, but it would seem to me that the numbers crunching for commercial and industrial users might make this more advantageous than it does for residential users, because you may have multiple units to distribute costs around. Also, you may be able to pass on some of the costs to your tenants so that no single tenant or occupant is bearing all of the cost. So it looks like it could be a very advantageous program for the city, and then the beauty of it is you can get out. If in fact these costs do surface that we can't see right now, hopefully they don't exist at all, but if they should show their face, there is the option to pull out. It sounds as though the city's commitment to this would be terminable at will, and that's that too is a very attractive feature. So by all appearances, this looks to be a very advantageous program without much to lose and potentially a lot to gain, especially in the commercial sector where I think maybe we need the most gain in Atascadero. So it seems to me that it would be a good thing to go forward with. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak on this topic? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment period. And at this point, I'd like to enter into the record a letter that was received by Michael Conger in support of participation. Would anybody like to discuss it further or make a motion?
Well, you mentioned interest rate. As I recall, one wasn't about 6% on our program.
I think that's what they were estimating, was kind of between 6 and 7%. It'll depend on exactly, you know, what the market is when they issue the bonds in right. terms of what the percent is, but that's what everybody's been estimating.
Do you know who's selling the bonds?
No.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, I think this is a good program. I think that we ought to go on board with. I think the pros outweigh the cons, and the fact that we do have the option to get out of it in case it's not really good. And I like what Mr. Calamarino said. I think it really opens up the door to our commercial industrial areas, people that really do use a lot of the resources, and it kind of makes an even playing field for everybody to get involved, and I think it's just advantageous. I hope it works. I wish I could put it on my house, but I got too many trees. I think it's a real good program, and we ought to give it a whirl.
I got a chainsaw.
Okay, I hope so.
Councilmember Bebro.
I bet you want to keep those trees. Well, I think it sounds like a favorable program for us, and I hope we're going to approve it tonight, but I think it is part of our developing image, you know, trying to be a focus of green energy. So I think that's important. And I think Joanne Main's reminder that it's a job stimulus, you know, the building industry is still really hurting around here, so I think anything we can do to help that. And I also want to remind people always think AB 811 is only for solar installation, but when you think about how many houses were built before double-pane windows in this city, just replacing all your windows, a lot of people don't have the money to do that just any day. So, you know, it provides an opportunity to install any kind of energy efficiency improvement. And from staff's report tonight, it can be used for gray water. It can be used for solar thermal if you want a hot water heater because the other things don't work out. There's a lot of different options on how you can improve your property, upgrade your property, increase the value of your property. And I think we're all looking for little things that we can do to save ourselves money and increase the value of our property. So I think it's a really good opportunity for us.
That being said, I'd like to make a motion that the council adopt the proposed draft resolution A, authorizing the city to participate in the California First program, a statewide AB 811 energy efficiency financing program, with the understanding that San Luis Obispo County will pay any associated fee.
Second. I think we all second.
Good grief. Let's see. I think I'll take it from Councilmember Clay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And now let's move on to management reports, and this will start with the 2010 Community Development Block Grants Draft Recommendation. Staff report, please.
Yeah, that'll be me tonight. Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. Here to present the 2010 Community Development Block Grant Program. It's a good opportunity for your council to make a big difference in a lot of organizations that help the needy in our community. This is an, as you know, is an annual allocation process of federal monies. Tonight, we're going to touch on what qualifies for a CDBG grant. We'll look at the process timeline and talk about the amount of funds that are available this year, and then we'll get into the actual applications and recommendations. Okay. As I said, CDBG funds are available through the federal HUD process, and the projects have to, or the applicants have to, meet one of three criteria. First, they have to provide a benefit to low and moderate income persons. They have to aid in the prevention or elimination of blight. And the third item is address an urgent need that poses a serious or immediate threat to the health or welfare of our community. It's divided into three general categories. The public services, which would be organizations such as Loaves and Fishes, that is a maximum of 15% of the allocated funds to the city. Then also in economic development and administration, that would be for our administration of the program or other economic development type programs such as the University of California program that was in your packet. That would qualify as an economic development program, and that would be a maximum of 20%, and the balance would be to be used on public facilities projects. A little bit on the timeline, what's happened prior to tonight, and what will happen after tonight's meeting. Back in September, the county published a notice of the funding opportunity, published the amount of money that was going to be available to each community. And then in September, there was the first of two North County workshops that will occur, one before tonight's meeting, and then one will happen after tonight's meeting back in February. October was the application deadline for the different organizations. In tonight's meeting, you are approving draft recommendations that will go to the county for their approval. Later this month, the county will publish a draft funding recommendations that compiles all the different applications from the various cities. And then there will be another series of workshops where the public has an opportunity to review that list. And it will come back to you in March for your final approval once we get the final document or report from the county listing the various projects that are to be funded. And then it will ultimately go back to the Board of Supervisors for their adoption and their approval. So tonight is pretty much a recommendation to the county of what programs you think are important and should be funded through the CDBG process. This year's allocation is $186,000. We have $3,400 left over from last year's allocation. There was money that was earmarked for the 211 information system. That effort was absorbed by United Way, I believe, and they rescinded or pulled back their application for those funds. So those funds will go back be rolled into this year's funding, and bringing us up to the total of $190,000. Okay. That's a little hard to read. And this is the same list that's in your staff report on page 59. I'll just go through them from the top. The public facilities applications, one, the City of Atascadero each year does a barrier removal project where we go in and improve accessibility around town or at public facilities. We install handicap ramps. We might install missing segments of sidewalk throughout the downtown area or wherever we have sidewalk. any public facility could be upgraded to improve handicap accessibility. North County Women's Shelter, that is in town here. They're looking to do a water line replacement project at their facility. The next item or applicant was the Transitional Food and Shelter Group, and they are looking for multiple sources of funds. Tascadero's application was a small piece of an overall funding package to buy a home in Atascadero for it's a nonprofit residential care facility to very low-income disabled people in the North County. Public services, again, this is limited to 15%, which is a total allocation tonight. We have about $28,000 to split up. In there is the Atascadero Community Services Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization for youth activity scholarships. The next one is Loaves and Fishes, very well-known operation, an emergency food pantry here in the North County in town. Big Brothers and Big Sisters is looking for a grant for operating expenses. They mentor children's programs and mentoring program. ECHO is the next group, El Camino Homeless Organization, and that's for operations expenses at the homeless shelter located here in town. Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo. I believe this is actually was accidentally left out. The description of this was left out of your staff report. This is the food. They did apply. It's a Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo County. It's a senior brown bag program, primarily out of the city. They don't actually serve. Their description in their application didn't show that they serve the community of Atascadero, but it is a countywide program. We have the Literacy Council. It's an Atascadero program to recruit and train volunteers to help improve literacy. And again, a second application from the Transitional Food and Shelter Group, and this is for their 24-hour care shelter for the medically fragile individuals, disabled individuals. They do kind of a motel voucher system that serves the area. Under economic development, there was two applications. One was Mission Community Services. This is a women's business program. It's kind of a countywide operation trying to provide training for entrepreneurial training and workshops for women. Again, countywide, not necessarily specific to Atascadero. And then also UC Merced applied for a small business assistance and training program that, again, is to try to spur entrepreneurial activity and training for small business. The last item up there is the administration component. This is limited. Both economic development and administration together combined is a maximum of 20%. We currently use this money to administer the program, to do the barrier removal project design and administration in-house. We do a little bit of outside services for that, but primarily it is staff time. If these funds were not granted by the CDBG program, we would be looking at an additional general fund expense. So this is planned to cover our staff time to administer the program. So really, as you can see up there, there was quite a bit of the application for the projects exceeded the amount that we had. And so we took a look at what had gone on in past years as far as a breakdown and which organizations were funded. We tried to focus on making a recommendation that first served organizations that were here in town and made as big an impact in our community as possible. And these are, again, a staff recommendation based on past years, and so it's up to you tonight to discuss. We can modify these recommendations as you see fit. That's the end of my staff report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Any questions?
Good.
Very good. Let's go ahead and open it to public comment or those that represent a different organization.
Madam Mayor, council members, staff, I'm Rich Wood with the Tascadero Loaves and Fishes, and as you may know, we're a food pantry operating every weekday afternoon providing groceries to needy people. We'd like to just go on record to thank you for your support in the past and your generosity. And to make my little talk short here, I will say that I'm pleased with the recommendations for our grant. And thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and staff. My name is Diane Howerton, and I'm the Regional Director for UC Merced SBDC Network. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about our program and just give you a little bit of background about who we are and what we do. It is impressive of the economic development that's going on in this city and the business friendliness of the city, as I've been here now several times over the course of the year to work with the business community. UC Merced SBDC Network is a partnership between SBA, UC Merced, and the local community. And in 2003, we were granted the award with SBA to provide business assistance in the community. I cover 15 counties, 51,000 square miles, and so we are charged with providing the business assistance in San Luis Obispo, and I'm real pleased with the activity that we have had in Atascadero over the years. What we do is we provide one-on-one business consulting. We help businesses with their research. We provide workshops and training. We can provide specialized workshops. And we help with business loan assistance. And since that time, when we've contracted with consultants to come in or use local people, since we have been working in this community, we've consulted with 763 individuals. That represents over 6,000 consulting hours. We've helped start or retain or help businesses start or expand. There have been 61 with an economic impact of $4.7 million. This has resulted in 258 jobs that have been created. And over the course of time, we've given, we've had about 3,900 people attend our workshops. In this past fall, I had two workshops that we conducted in the city. One was on QuickBooks. It was for an intermediate QuickBooks user. I brought 16 laptops in, and then we had some other laptops that we were able to provide so that those business owners that wanted that advanced assistance, we were able to give them tips and tricks on how to save their time and utilize their QuickBooks better. It was very well received. I ended up having a waiting list, and so we'd love to try to repeat that in the fall. We also did a resource day that was very well received, and I've got some information that I will leave with you about some of those facts and statistics. But we're asking for the $15,000, and with the $15,000, that is matched with $15,000 of federal funds. The CDBG is the only federal program that we can match federal with federal dollars. So those funds would be put back into this community and targeted with business consulting as well as some targeted workshops on what the needs of the community might be, whether they are some new ones or some of the existing ones. But the SBDC program is an integral part of economic development because we do help create and retain jobs. And we have found through our statistics and our database that those businesses that work with an SBDC consultant or take our workshops, their sales have a tendency to grow faster, and it helps to create more jobs.
Thank you, Ms. Howerton. I'm sorry, but we're out of time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One question for you. One moment. Councilmember Burrow.
I just had a question. Some of those numbers you gave us, was that just for our city or was it for the county?
It's for the city.
Okay, thank you.
I ran the queue twice.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make sure.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your help in our community.
Thank you.
Mayor Fonsi and members of the City Council, my name is Linda Doust. I live at 5625 Kepps Brown here in Tascadero, and I'm currently serving as the president at ECHO, El Camino Homeless Organization. And I'm here primarily to thank the City Council for your continued support of our organization. You've helped us over the last few years since we've been in Atascadero providing meals and housing for the homeless. In the time we've been here, we've served over 105,000 hot meals and over 62,000 beds to the needy in Atascadero. And it's with your help that we're able to do that as an all-volunteer or primarily all-volunteer organization. We're working closely with all the organizations in the city and in the county to do that, and we thank you very much for your help and your support. I know that most of you or all of you have served meals or have stayed overnight for us at the shelter, and we truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tina Salter, and I'm one of the newest volunteers working for ECHO, for the El Camino Homeless Association. Linda just gave you a very good overview of some of the things we've done in the past year, but I just want to support the staff's recommendation and to commend the staff for figuring out how to divide what seems to be an ever-diminishing amount of money to an ever-increasing number of applicants, and I support the choices that the staff has made, and I hope you support them also. To reiterate, ECHO supports the staff recommendations, and so do I. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Salter.
Hello, I'm Pearl Munak. I'm president of Transitional Food and Shelter Incorporated. We had asked for $100,000 to help us to purchase a residential care home, and the recommendation is to deny that, and we understand because there are many other worthy projects. We had also asked for $5,000 for operating expenses, and that was also was recommended against. Now, one thing disturbed me, and that was that our operating grant was characterized as being for operating a residential care home. Actually, it was for operating either a residential care home or to continue as we're doing now, which is to rent these five apartments that are over there between Atascadero, Lowe's and Fish's and the Atascadero Police Station. We've got the expense of renting those five apartments, which we let our clients who are both disabled and homeless use, the people who need 24-hour shelter. And we've got the expense of insurance. We've got the expense of a resident manager. We're paying expenses now for a volunteer caseworker. And I hope that maybe that could be reconsidered, that you could provide something for those expenses.
Thank you, Ms. Munak. Any questions? No. Go ahead.
You gonna restart? Oh, there you go. Thank you. Joanne Main again. Daunting task ahead of you. I would not take a dime from any of the ones that you have up there. They all provide a great public benefit. Is it my understanding that you have to spend the $118,000 on the access, the accessibility for the handicap? Because I'm here to tell you that our businesses are suffering. And when you said aid or eliminate blight or the health and welfare of the community, our business community is suffering, as you see the many businesses that have been closing. And here we have a chance to get matching leveraged money, $15,000 for $15,000 of federal money, to help educate and perhaps provide services to our business community. If you can't do it through this program, if you can't reduce the handicap accessibility, perhaps in strategic plan, there's when you're working on your economic development portion, there's a way to consider consider funding this program in another way. But please consider that, because if there's ever a year that the business community is suffering, and that's the backbone of our community, a small business, it's now.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, are you familiar with this company? And
yes, we've actually co-done both of the workshops that Diane Howerton spoke of. We'd helped with the QuickBooks workshop as well as the SBA loan and getting information out to folks. And they're the ones that have come forward to us and brought us this expertise. We don't currently have, I believe, an SBDC operating in our county that can provide the services that they do. I know they're an outside organization, but they are coming here, bringing expertise here, and using, hopefully, local counselors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Wendy Lewis, Associate Executive Director of the Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo County. Thank you for the opportunity. Again, many of the agencies up there are ones that we serve that come and get food for us for their agencies, so it's hard to try to compete in a way with them. But in Atascadero itself, our brown bag program serves about 90 of your residents, low-income seniors, that twice a month come to either pick up a couple of well-balanced bags of groceries that consist of a bag that has proteins and cereals and pasta, and another bag that we're very thankful that has fresh produce and other things to balance out a great meal that they wouldn't normally get. And just recently, I had the opportunity to be at the site, and one of the local residents was so grateful and shared with me that she said it's so hard because as a senior on a fixed income, that normally she's only able to eat what she called cheap food. And she said it's very easy as a senior to eat unhealthy, and she was very grateful to be able to eat healthy now with this program. So I'd love for you to reconsider your recommendation and keep in mind that our program, the Food Bank Coalition itself, serves about 12 to 15 agencies in Atascadero in the city itself. This is just one of the programs that we were considering with this grant. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis.
Len Colomarino, Atascadero resident. I just want to track on to Joanne Main's comments about the SBDC program and the question that came up about it. I previously worked as a counselor for that organization, and I can say that it's a very worthy cause to assist them. I certainly am not going to comment about taking money from any of the other causes here, but I can tell you from experience working as a counselor with them that there are a lot of people who need business direction who are, I spoke with many in the North County who were looking to start up businesses and really needed to be pointed in the right direction before making some what could have been major gross blunders. It's not easy to start up a small business, as probably some of you know. The numbers are not very favorable for success. The success rate is not very favorable. There are a lot of obstacles, and when you have a climate like we have now, economic climate like this, cards are really stacked against you. So, in any event, if there is a way to find some money to apply to this cause, it is a worthy one, which could benefit our community in the long run. Thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Was this pro bono or?
There was a nominal fee paid to me for my time, and that's one of the costs I think that they carry. Again, the federal government kicks in on this,
yeah.
So it's not born locally in its entirety.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, Council, my name is Dan Chacon, a resident from Tascadero. Unless a local community college is closed down, I believe they have a small business development center that's been in operation for several years. So if the folks don't know that there is one and they need some help, I would encourage you to contact the college. The other thing that I was wondering as this list was developed, Mr. Thompson did not share what process was used. If there were maybe another 100 people who are organizations that put in their request, but what was the process that was used to develop this list? And included in that process, how did you determine what allocation went to whom?
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council Persons. Bernadette Bernardi, Executive Director of the Literacy Council for San Luis Obispo County. I'd like to thank staff and council for prior funding and certainly staff for the recommendation of this upcoming year. We do serve members of Atascadero City. In a way, at least I see it this way, and the people that work for me see it this way, we are another one of those very basic needs. Once you have shelter and food and clothing, then having the ability to read, write, and speak in English puts you at the forefront of being able to succeed in any community in California or anywhere else. So we teach native-born English speakers right from your community who, for some reason or another, do not read or write English well enough to compete in the job market. We also provide, it's one-on-one tutoring, so we set and meet goals. We are a California State Library Literacy Service, and we are mandated by the state to set and meet goals. Someone can walk in and want to finally pass their GED, and we will provide that service for them. And our success rate is very high because we do work one-on-one. And yes, we do also work with English as a second language learners in your community. Spanish is the primary first language of English as a second language learners. However, I want to emphasize that throughout the county, we serve members from all over the world. We are a monolingual based program, which means that our tutors do not need to know any other language except English. And we train them how to work with folks who are either English speakers or non-English speakers. We have had individuals, many, who have become U.S. citizens, who have passed driver's tests, who go on to adult school and community colleges. We are the non-threatening environment for some folks to finally succeed and to learn. Thank you.
A question for you before you go. Do you have an estimate of how many Atascadero residents you have assisted this year?
Over the course of any given year, I would say anywhere between 45 and 100. It fluctuates. I think this evening, our center is at the ABC Bible Church. You could walk in there and there could be 45 folks working one-on-one with 45 volunteer members. You could walk in there on Thursday and there would only be 10. But that's part of the State Library is looking at being able to retain learners, which is really difficult when you're working with a population that works a couple of jobs and that their priority is trying to put food on the table and not necessarily read to their children, which is what we teach them to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could answer Mr. Chacon's question, unless you already know the answer that was posed.
Go ahead, Joanne. That's fine.
I just learned this from Dan Howerton, that our local Cuesta College did not renew their contract with the SBDC. So there is no SBDC in our county right now.
Thank you.
Hi,
Hi, Anna Boyd Busey, Executive Director for Big Brothers Big Sisters. I'd like to thank the City Council members and staff for the recommended funding in CDBG for 2009. I also wanted to thank you for the for 2010 funding, and thank you for the 2009 funding as well. Your support is really pivotal in helping us provide mentors to children in Atascadero. We're currently serving 16 children in Atascadero in our community-based program, the one we most often hear about. And we have another four kids waiting for mentors. It costs us $1,000 a year to serve a child in our program, and that includes funding for targeted volunteer recruitment, volunteer training, performing background checks, interviewing parents and children, introducing that mentor to the child, and supporting that relationship. It's often an adult from a vastly different background than the child, and helping them understand why a parent does the things that they do. We also follow up on our matches to make sure that they're getting along and that children are safe and they're succeeding, and what we're doing is really useful, and we find that children's self-esteem improves, and when their self-esteem grows up, all sorts of positive things start to occur. A recent long-term study found that children enrolled in our program as adults are wealthier, better educated, and have stronger relationships with their family and friends. This is pretty incredible. These are adults years later. So I wanted to really thank you in investing in such a long-term investment in your community. To give you a feel for the kids we serve, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Kenny. Kenny and his sister were referred to our program by CASA more than 5 years ago. They had recently moved to a safe house and were in hiding from his father. His mother asked that they not talk about their past or anything to do with the father. But at about 10 at the time of the interview, Kenny said he wanted a mentor where he could talk about his dad. He could talk about the things that had happened to him and his family, and he could figure out how to not be like his dad or like his mom. A really bold request from a 10-year-old. We paired him with Big Brother Harry, and the two of them have camped, talked, and gone to lots of movies. After they were matched, that's what we call it when we pair an adult with a child in our program, for about 2 years later, his mom decided to move his dad back into the home with he and his sister. And Kenny decided to talk some more with his big brother. He talked a lot about his feelings, his anger toward his parents, and his fear that his family wasn't safe. Eventually, both of his parents did significantly injure his sister, and they were removed from the home. Kenny bounced from foster home to foster home. He was in multiple placements, and his big brother Harry had him memorize his cell phone number so that when he would suddenly move, he still had a way to talk to his big brother. This provided amazing consistency. He had an adult following him through who knew him from the past and knew his presence, and he could continue to talk about his feelings and what he wanted to do with his life. He now lives with his grandparents. He's 15 years old. He still interacts with his mentor, and they still get together and talk. His big brother's was a force for stability, and Kenny told me he doesn't want to be like his parents when he grows up. He told me that Harry told him his ticket out of this lifestyle was education, and that's why he plans to finish high school. And I think he's right. And I really think that your funding helps so that maybe in the future there's less of a need at the food bank or at the homeless shelter or even at the Literacy Council. They all do wonderful things, but I'm hoping that we can prevent kids from getting to that point. And I really appreciate the support of the City of Atascadero.
Thank you, Anna. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council? Are there any questions for those that have spoken? Okay, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring this back with a couple of questions that were raised. One was raised by Joanne Main regarding the $118,000. She asked if there was a portion that could be taken out of there and put into the funding for the Merced business program. Could you please address that?
Yeah, I'm going to have Rochelle Rickard address that. She's a little more familiar with the funding limitations.
As far as the $118,000, the city does not have to, or you do not have to place the $118,000 with the City of Itasca barrier removal. What you have the choice is if you have $124,794, and it has to go to one of the top three there agencies. It can only go towards public facilities. So you could not take funds from the barrier removal and move it down to the UCSD or UC, sorry, Merced SBDC program. So basically you have $124,794 that has to go towards public facilities. You have $28,000 that has to go towards public services. And then you have the $37,350 that has to go towards administration and economic development. So your choices are between the top three, between the middle seven, and in that vein.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Councilmember.
Rochelle, in regards to the $37,350, that all doesn't have to go to the city.
It actually costs us more than $37,350 to administer this program. So the general fund is already picking up a portion. So no matter what that cost is there, it's right now CDBG pays a portion of it and the general fund pays a portion of it. If you reduce how much goes to administration, you're basically taking it out of your general fund reserves because we'll still incur those costs and we have to pay them out of our general fund. So your general fund, which has economic difficulties already, will just dig a little bit deeper hole.
I understand. But in regards, you know, our decision and the way I see it is with matching funds, if let's say we took $7,350 out of there and left the city with $30,000, why, with matching funds and with stimulating business, it might be a good thing, possibly. Thank you.
Another question that was raised, and this was raised by Mr. Chacon, and this was regarding the process for the allocation. I was wondering how staff came to these recommendations.
There was 13 applications for funding, all of which are listed there on the overhead. Again, the process was in the past has gone to the Finance Committee and kicked around at the Finance Committee based on staff recommendations. This year, we tried to continue to fund programs that have been funded in the past, focus on those programs that have a significant presence here in town. And again, it's hard to draw that line between different organizations. They're all do a great job in their own right and need funding, but it was an internal department level decision.
Thank you. Councilmember O'Malley?
Well, I was going to say, and some of the weighting went to looking at the history of funding, and that might have factored into your thinking. And with that, I was going to say, as a former member of the Finance Committee for many years, George Luna and I did that together. And so one of the few things we usually agreed on was the CDBG funding, and we had three things that were foremost in our mind, and I think in especially even in these tough economic times, was looking at food and shelter as your fundamental basic needs. We did want to make sure that the benefit went to benefiting local residents, because the CDBG funds are available countywide. Each city is distributing some, and so we want to make sure that our residents are covered by our allocation of funds. And then I think really important, something we always agreed on, was that we wanted to really leverage the community resources. And if you look like at an organization like ECHO, it's probably the lowest cost per person service in the nation when it comes to homeless. You look at Loaves and Fishes, these are organizations that have predominantly volunteers. There are community that's made a decision to support these programs, and so we also in the past gave weight to organizations like that.
Councilmember Clay?
I would agree that food and shelter, especially in this economic times, is where we have to look. And I know that everybody on here is certainly, needs some money and have good causes. But I'd like to make a suggestion to the council that we leave certainly El Camino homeless with the $15,000, and that the $1,000 for the literacy program and the $1,500 for Big Brothers and Big Sisters be brought up to Lowe's and Fish's. And that would give them a $10,000, and that's, again, in regards to food and shelter. And that's my main suggestion. My other one would be that we take $7,350 from the city administration cost and give them to the UC Small Business Association. That would, with matching funds, that would be $14,700. So I'd like to have the council mail those around.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes. I wish we had some different guidelines where we could distribute the money a little easier and better, because I think I'd like to give money to everybody, and unfortunately we can't do that. I'm satisfied with what the staff has done with the disbursements of the funds, and I'd like to see the Big Brother and Sister program. I've been a little bit involved in that in the shadows. I think it's a real good program. In the Literacy Council, we're talking a little bit of money, although the homeless shelter, they're all very, very good. But to get back to the Merced program, I think I would like to take Jerry's amount of money, or just an even $7,500, and transfer it over into that program. I think Atascadero, we're on a positive move forward. I think over the last year, Tom and I have put a lot of time into the Economic Vitality Corporation down there. We've kind of put Atascadero on the map, that we're very progressive towards getting new businesses to town. In fact, I think we all received an email the other day where the EVC helped a new business start in town. We also have our Office of Economic Development, where we're trying to help businesses come to town. And I think this is it's a significant amount of money, but I think the return that we will get on this as businesses do come to town and we start employing people, we starting to get sales tax and what have you, I think it's a real good opportunity and a good investment for our money and a good program for the city. So I would like to put $7,500 or Jerry's amount into the Merced. I think $7,500 would be an easy round number to work with.
Mayor, I'd like to speak to that program when there's a chance.
Go ahead, Mr. Lewis.
I appreciate where the council's headed with this. I just want to fill you in. We're very familiar with SBDC, and we actually do work with them. And so I want to fill in a little bit about that program, staff's interaction with SBDC, and maybe some other alternatives. I hear that you want to be supportive of that. Of course, that's our number one goal. I first just want to reiterate that, as Rochelle said, dollar for dollar out of this, that would impact the general fund. And so you're nearly $900,000 deficit to the general fund. And so I would first articulate that, to make it very clear, in using these dollars, then we'd have to reduce the general fund by that amount. And so we have a concern about that. The SBDC, as far as supporting that, it's a great group. And it is based out of UC Merced. I talk with Diane several times a year. We actually looked at housing the SBDC center here when it left Cuesta College. And so Cuesta did not continue with them because it is involved with federal government. There's a significant bit of paperwork and overhead and some of that sort of thing, and it was difficult. And so they do have a person at Cuesta still providing some services. We're going to be utilizing that individual for some of the restaurant work we're starting next month. We did invite the SBDC to come out, and we provided facilities free of charge. It was your staff that provided the laptops, a portion of them, for the seminar that you heard. So we've given them support to several thousand dollars a year. And if you want to continue to support them, I would recommend more perhaps that we use agency funds, and that we're in charge of those agency funds and bringing them out, as opposed to sending them to an agency where you lose control of that funding. And so that's what we would recommend. But remember, those are the same dollars that you'll be using for your restaurant stimulus, that you used for your sign program. And those are programs that, you know, every dollar goes into this community and is directly accountable to you. And so we would caution you on an allocation from this, because it does go against the general fund, but we hear your intent and believe we could try and continue to work with them in some other alternatives.
I have a question for Jim.
Go ahead, Mr. Kelly. Or Clay?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I'm the old fellow. But anyway, using agency funds, now that's absolutely legal, is what you're saying. In other words, we could and get matching funds using our agency funds, our redevelopment agency funds?
We believe you could use agency funds to put on programs that promoted businesses in the agency, and you could hire the SBDC to do
that.
Can
we give them direct money, though?
We can hire the SBDC for things. That's my understanding. We've done that with Diane for the training.
What you're saying is we can't furnish them with $15,000 in.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. You could give them $37,350 if that was the council's choice. The leveraging component that she was speaking to is that these are federal dollars, right. And the only federal dollars that can be used to leverage her federal dollars, because yes, BDC is a federal program, are CDBG monies. And so you can actually use those to supplant the work that SBDC is doing with their federal allocation. And so whatever dollar we give to SBDC or however we work with them is leveraged because they have federal money that helps support them. And so just to clarify the leveraging concept.
Okay, but what you're saying is if we give them redevelopment money, then
it still can be leveraged.
It's not going to be doubled. You're telling me that.
Any dollar you give them doesn't necessarily double. What you're doing is you're taking a federal resource and adding to it with your local money in hopes to get more of their help.
Jim, if we give them CBG funds, the federal government gives matching funds. If we give them redevelopment funds, do we get matching funds?
No.
Okay, that's my question.
Well, but if you give them CDBG funds, you don't get matching funds. So I think we're getting.
I think we're wording it a little bit differently. Let me explain how I think it is and tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think the issue with matching funds is the rule is you can't use federal dollars to match federal dollars. The CDBG funds happens to be one exception. On the other
Correct.
Hand, they have access to federal funds, and any money that they get essentially, if they got some non-federal money, they could use that to leverage those federal funds and bring in more funds. So I think, Jerry, the answer to your question is yes. If they...
You just totally confused me now. Okay.
You got some federal money available, and if you get any money that can join it and match it, then you can double your money, like you're saying. Now, normally, you can't use federal money to do that leverage or match. CDBG is one exception. But we don't have to use the CDBG money. We can use any other source of money serves as a match for the federal money. So we could use, and I think you bring up a good point. My concern is I don't want to be too easy on the council. The council's made a rule to saying we're not going to fund a new program unless we make the tough decision of where we're going to take the money from. And essentially, that's what we would be doing in this case. If we take money away from this, which essentially is the staff support for the handicap accessibility, we are decreasing a program. And we're not then giving any staff help. Where's that money going to come from? They're stuck with the tough choice. What I would prefer to do is, I agree it's an important program, but we should look at it separately along with all the other important economic development programs, and then we decide, we make the tough choice, don't put it off on staff. If we want to prioritize putting more towards the SBDC program support, which is a good program, then we should decide where we're taking it from out of our economic development money, which includes redevelopment. I think that's what staff's suggesting, and I support that. That's sticking with the rule we said that we're not going to push the tough decisions on the staff. We're going to make
right.
that decision.
Okay. Well.
Go ahead, Councilmember.
Okay.
Clay.
Well, in regards to the money is not all lost. When you work with business people, improve business people, your opportunity to create sales tax dollars is also a possibility, and it also goes into our general fund. And I understand what you're saying there now, Tom, and maybe at some point they could come back and make a proposal to the redevelopment the redevelopment committee, and we could make a decision then.
If I follow you, and I just want to clarify, I think what is being said is that this could be matched any time during the year. It doesn't have to be done at this moment. So they could come back to the council or the redevelopment agency and make that request, and we could allocate the funds later.
Councilmember Bayrou.
Well, I think part of what's important there is that we already have a relationship with them. And so if we decide in the future, like a strategic planning, that we want to do more work and they would be the appropriate agency to work with, we can do that. I don't think they have to come back and necessarily do a presentation. We can just we can just initiate that when we are able to do that.
Right.
So I think that we should make sure that we're covering as much administrative costs for the city as we can, because as Rochelle pointed out, we're already not covering our costs. We're already given a donation by administering this program. So I don't think we should reduce that $37,000 at all. I would suggest, and this is just open for discussion, that we leave loaves and fishes the same, but change Big Brothers and Big Sisters to 1,000, give 500 to Food Bank, Literacy Council, and Transitional Food and Shelter, just as a way to give them just a little, everyone gets a little bit. Because it is very difficult for me to say that some people should get zero. That's hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Councilmember.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, going back to food and shelter and keeping our money in a Tascadero, the Lowe's and Fishes and El Camino Homeless, they are the ones that carry the load in our community, and that's why I think it's important. I have nothing against the other organizations at all. I know they're all worthy, but I think in this economic, my suggestion is a good one to move as much money as possible up to Lowe's and Fishes. They do it, folks, every day in our community.
I'd like to ask a question of staff. I'm not sure that I'm real clear about the Atascadero Community Services Foundation Youth Activity Scholarships, that if our priority is providing food and shelter, I'm wondering how they came to the conclusion of that much money for those scholarships.
Madam Mayor, as the Secretary of the Community Services Foundation, let me give you a little background on that. Rochelle is also the treasurer of the foundation. In about 1992, the City Council established the Community Services Foundation. The bylaws state that the finance director will be the treasurer and that I will be the secretary. Community members were appointed to the board by the City Council. Over the years, the foundation has done many things, but the primary thing that's been occurring over the last 10 years or so has been the Youth Activity Scholarship Fund. That fund was established to give children in the community that would otherwise not be able to afford to join Little League, to play in the band at school, to play soccer, to join an arts class, to provide scholarship money so that these families could enroll their children in recreation activities. When we first started the program, the City Council was allocating about $10,000 a year to the scholarship fund. Probably in our highest year, we awarded over $11,000 in scholarships to families that all met the HUD low-income guidelines. In fact, many of them were very low-income according to the HUD income guidelines. The activity scholarships, when the applications come in, I go over them with some community members like Carol Bruns, who works at San Gabriel School, who was on the foundation board, and we would try to spread the money around to the families as best as possible. I can tell you in reading the applications that especially now in this economic climate, what we're seeing is families who they've had their parents, mother or father or both, have lost their jobs, single mothers that are trying to be able to enroll their kids in Little League or soccer or cheer or any of these activities, the classes, the ballet and tap. And without these scholarships, these children would not have the ability to enroll in some of these activities. So that's a little bit of the history. The council, over this past 10 years or so, has reduced the funding almost every year from $10,000 now to the recommendation from staff tonight of $3,000. And my suggestion would be, if we go below that, we probably ought to just abolish the program, because as it is, we're turning away many families, and we've reduced the scholarships. Let's say youth football cost $90. we're giving 50% of that to the families to spread the money around. So that's kind of where we are with the foundation scholarships.
Thank you for that clarification. I appreciate that. Sure. Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, and again, I'm going to maybe direct this more to Rochelle. And you touched on a concern I have. I've spent many years managing organizations that have a wide range of services like this. And I think we're in a position where our hearts are bigger than our pocketbooks, as Councilmember Bayrou lamented. We'd all like to do more on these. My concern is we're just spreading ourselves too thin, that we've got, there's a certain amount of overhead to every program and everything that we do in tracking stuff, and it sounds like this is now a $3,000 program. And the fact is, I know, for example, ECHO often makes decisions working with families that maybe a family needs something, some help in some way. They have the flexibility to do that. Some of the other organizations that do, and there's no administrative overhead to that. I'm thinking, as tough as it is, and I look at all these priorities, I'm thinking maybe it's time to free up this resource, maybe look at it in a future time and reprioritize that, saving the overhead we have in the city and moving those funds to some of these other dire needs in these tough times.
Councilmember
Clark. Yes, I don't support that, Tom, but I think a lot of kids stay in school just because of sports, and it keeps them going and keeps them interested, particularly kids that are economic situations aren't good. But I'd like to make a suggestion that we go down, take public facilities as a group, and then we go down one at a time and see if we got consensus on each one of these.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that, unless there's Councilmember Kelly, excuse me.
I mean, after we get through with all our comments, we just take them one at a time.
All right, I think that's a sound suggestion. Go ahead, yeah. Councilmember Kelly.
Once again, I would just like to get assured and maybe get a clarification on the program for the Merced College. I'm a very strong proponent and supporter for the small business person in town. And I think the success of a small business person is the backbone to the success of a Atascadero. I just want to be assured that we can get some money to this program. And it appears that the project that we have for the city, that redevelopment money could also be used for that project, too. Would that be correct?
So as chair of redevelopment, you could put it on the agenda.
Asking a question.
Let's hear from Michelle.
The administrative costs for barrier removal, if we're doing that barrier removal in the downtown and it's over and above for that, yes, we can. A lot of the costs, though, are not just that pre-planning and phasing of that project. They're also the number of CDBG is a federal program. There is lots and lots and lots and lots of paperwork associated with that. So it's a lot of staff time preparing a contract for each one of these, submitting it to the county, going through this process. Those things can't be absorbed by CDBG, but there is a component of that, the pre-planning phase. You can't spend money on a CDBG project until you've done an environmental report or an environmental review of it. All of that's covered by the environmental review, and all of that is covered by administrative costs. And so the environmental review portion of the barrier removal, in theory, we could put that towards the RDA project if it's in there. But that's just a small percentage of the $37,000.
And then, Jim, you mentioned that. Can we get money out of the redevelopment agency and put towards this program?
Yes would be the answer. I think what we would ask you to do, though, if you're very interested in SBDC and SBA, your staff could put something together for you at strategic planning if that was an issue. And I think what we'd show you is you have roughly $20,000 to $25,000 in your redevelopment agency funds that you use for your direct local stimulus efforts. So what we could do is divert some of that money to send to UC Merced and SBDC. But remember, then someone else is going to be administering that money, and you're hoping to get some benefit back. As opposed to you investing that dollar directly in town. But you could do that. If you want to see what SBDC is about, we could show you at the strategic planning meeting that you have, it's roughly a little over $20,000, but that's the same exact money we're using for the signs and for the restaurant campaign we want to bring to you next month. That would be up to you.
What would you recommend looking at? two different things that we talked about tonight.
Well, remember, it's always the board and council's money. So that's my first recommendation. But to you, I think you have a lot on the book. And we have a lot of direct stimulus efforts that you've been very engaged in doing. And so I think what I'd want to take a look at, and we could return to you, is share with you, do you really believe a dollar given through your Office of Economic Development to a business person is the same as a dollar sent to SBDC and then returned in the form of training? Diane and SBDC do a great job. They're a great organization, but we're already effectively working with them to bring them here. That is what the SBDC is charged to do with federal dollars. Our federal dollars charges the SBDC with serving our area. So when the Quest to College program went away, our county didn't have a person here, and so the Merced contract through the SBA picked up our area. And so they receive money to serve us, and they've done a great job at that. And so I think if we want to increase that level of service and required additional resources to them, we'd recommend to you to use RDA money at that point.
I have a question. I think.
Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, Jim, in regards to that, as far as giving the money and it goes away, if they came in our community and a specific program and asked for money from the redevelopment agency on a specific program that they were going to run in our county, whatever it was, I think that would be a better mix, don't you?
Absolutely, and I think, again, when we've needed them, and they've done a great job, they've come, and we've provided a room, and the Chamber of Commerce has helped market the event, but they haven't charged us. If there was a service we needed for them that would require a charge, we could definitely use some of our redevelopment monies for that, and I think the staff has a relationship with SBDC, and we can make that happen for you. You've made it very clear that you're interested in their service.
Yeah, okay.
Good enough. I think Councilmember Kelly was first.
If I could ask the lady, if we gave you money under a program like that, would that still be open to matching
she
funds?
Has to go to the microphone.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and open the public comment again. Go ahead, Ms. Howerton.
Maybe I can help clarify a couple of points here.
Could you make sure the mic is on, ma'am?
Again, my name is Diane Howerton, Regional Director. Yes, we do have the federal funds that have budgeted for San Luis Obispo, but as with the federal funds, I need non-federal funds to draw down those dollars. It's a matching program. Okay. The legislators in Washington, they want to see that the community is committed, so therefore I can release those funds if I've got non-federal funds, redevelopment money, and the one exception is the CDBG. Now, it sounds like the redevelopment funds might be easier to work with than the CDBG funds because of all of the paperwork and I know the administrative costs. I don't envy your job at all. So does that help answer your question?
Yes, I have a question.
Councilmember Clay, I believe you're after. Oh. Was this a question for Ms. Howerton,
yes,
Mr. O'Malley? No. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is you decide to do something with Joanne or with the chamber in Atascadero, and you're going to use, $5,000 of your funds. You come to us and say we need $5,000. Is that a doable thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see if we can pull the ones. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Since a public comment is open, you have that option again.
Wendy Lewis with the Food Bank Coalition. I just wanted to comment on one from Councilmember Clay. The program that I spoke of with the brown bag and the seniors, it's specifically for the seniors here in Atascadero. Our brown bag program is countywide. We serve about 900 senior citizens, low-income countywide, but the 90 I spoke of are residents right here in Atascadero. Loaves and Fishes is a wonderful program. They receive a lot of food directly from us to support Loaves and Fishes. These seniors that we serve, unfortunately, aren't able to get to Loaves and Fishes. A lot of them are homebound, and our volunteers take the food directly to them. So it's kind of two different types of distribution.
Councilmember Clay.
Loaves and Fishes, so they purchase the food from you, right?
Well, that's one kind of misconception. That would be, if this is an opportunity to kind of clarify, food that's available at the warehouse up in Paso, most of the food there is actually what's called shared maintenance. That a certain percentage is, there's a purchase price per se, like they're shopping, but it's 14 cents on the dollar. And that's just a shared maintenance of getting the food
that through our networks to that agency. So if Lowe's and Fishes comes to us to get the food, dairy, produce, breads, that's all free. It's just a hard shelf stable proteins, things like that, that weren't donated to us that we've had to purchase. We subsidize most of the cost. Agencies just have to pay a small portion of it to be a partner with us.
So the dairy and such, is that government surplus that you're getting?
No, most is actually donated to us through fresh rescue programs or through the national food bank chains down through the system of it. So we're different sources, but the dairy, anything, most of the things that we receive free, we automatically pass on to the agencies for free.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. Is there anybody else? Seeing none, I'm closing the public comment portion and bringing it back to the council. Is it the council's wish to go through each item? And
I did have a couple.
I'm comments. Sorry, I missed your question. Excuse me, Mr. O'Malley. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, it's more of a statement. I think we're in the statements now, and then I could have a suggestion. You know, it's very tempting to hand out money, especially when we actually don't have it. And I do think we have to be cautious. I think it's a very good idea. We know we want to do economic development, and that's a top priority. I would think in this case, rather than changing strategies on the fly, I would rather see this come back at strategic planning, make it a priority, that we would like to look at maybe putting more money into training. Rather than looking at one particular organization, which is a very good organization, we may well want to do that. It may well be that if we say we want to do more of something like this, the Economic Vitality Corporation may say we could do that, or the Chamber may say we could do that, or maybe they will join in and say, yes, this is the best thing we ought to do. But I think it's not really an agenda item to look at this in the way that we're doing. We're looking at CDBG funds. I think it would be wise for us to take the time to look at this as part of our bigger strategy, and we're going to be spending a lot of our strategic planning time on that topic. So I think that would just be a thought. And I do want to share that I understand that this is a painful process. Normally, we used to do this through the Finance Committee, and you know, our hearts want to support all of these items, and it's very tough. That's why economic development's our top priority, because we'd like to have more money to spend on things like this. And I'm going to make a suggestion just for a trial, because when I've experienced things like this before, I know it's just a struggle. There's like one thing is just as good as another. Staff has put some time into this. We've talked a lot about it. Of course, we'd like to shift a little bit around, but the amounts we're talking about shifting around are relatively small. And with that, just to see if we have consensus, I would move we adopt staff's recommendation, adding that we specifically look at the SBDC program as part of our strategic planning along with our economic development strategy.
If that's a motion, I'll second it.
Yes.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion?
Obviously, I think this motion is going to pass, but I still think that Lowe's and Fishes deserves more money, and they carry the heavy load here, folks.
Jerry, I agree with you. I wish we could give them $100,000 with the way the program's set up. You know, and I think we've got a real good balance of what's going on here.
I'll throw this out for discussion. I think the one that may have been neglected to a certain extent is the food bank that's giving the brown bag lunches to seniors. I'm not sure where to take it from, but I would like to see them get something. I know. I'm just throwing it out there for discussion's sake. There is a motion on
that. Can I make a comment?
Go ahead.
Well, that was my suggestion to spread it around, but then Rochelle brought up the fact that if we enter in contracts with all of these, that creates even more paperwork for her to do. Yeah. So you eat up some of that value by creating more paperwork. So I'm kind of more willing to go with staff's original recommendation just to keep everything contained and. We can't.
I think you
call for the question.
I have Councilmember Kelly next.
You know, I think that's a good point, but looking at the community service, which is a scholarship, we have $3,000 there.
Mm.
I think if we could take some money out of it, I'd rather put food in people's mouths as a top priority, and I think we could get $500 or $1,000 out of that.
and still keep the community service program intact with a sufficient amount of money to be proactive.
I can't support that because I know how important it is for some of these young kids to be able to play and to tell them that they cannot play because they don't have the money. I just can't support that at all.
I have a question for the city attorney. I think that we may have a modification of the second. Is that correct? Are you modifying your second, Councilmember Kelly?
You can withdraw it.
Or withdrawing it? I want to make sure we do this right.
I'll modify that. You can't modify the second?
Yeah, I'm...
We cannot modify it without permission of the motion,
right.
Correct?
And yes. I would suggest...
I'll second Tom's motion.
Yeah, I suggest...
I already did.
Okay.
Then I'll call for the question.
I think that would be wise.
All right. Let's try to keep this under control.
Okay.
We'll call for the original motion, which is staff's recommendation.
With the addition that this...
Well, we
with the addition that it come back to the council to talk about Merced and
strategic planning.
Strategic planning.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
Roll call.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia.
Boy, that was tough. Okay, let's move on to art in public places policy update discussion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the City Council. This item this evening was brought before you on your agenda as a request of the City Council. And just to give you a little bit of background on arts in public places, in approximately 1995, the City Council decided that they were interested in an arts in public places policy, and they formed a committee which I staffed, and it was a difficult process, to be honest. We spent about a year working on an arts in public places policy, and at the end of that year, we had no consensus on a policy. And so there was really sort of a majority opinion about arts in public places policy, which was recommended to the City Council, and there was a minority opinion. Most of the disagreement dealt with whether the policy should cover private property or not. However, tonight we're going to talk about the policy that was adopted by the City Council in 1997 and how the process works, and we can talk a little bit about some of the things that have been problematic for us and where the City Council might want to go. So tonight we're going to review the Arts and Public Places policy, and the Council can provide staff direction if you would like to update or revise the policy.
Could I just ask, how long do you expect this presentation to take?
Probably less than 5 minutes.
That sounds
I'm probably
good.
About halfway through it already. just so you know how the policy works now, if an artist or a community group comes to the city with a public art project, they would submit an application to the city. The staff reviews the application. Community development, the community services department, the public works department all review the project based on where it's proposed to be located and so on, the type of construction. Then staff forwards the application with the background information to an arts committee. And this is something that has been problematic in the past. In about 1997, 1998, there was one public arts project that was brought forward by an artist named John Olt, who has a statue in the zoo. It's a monkey that's a project that was accepted by the city at that time. And then since that project, there was no public art projects proposed until the Veterans Memorial project came along a couple of years ago. And if you remember, we had some problems with that, primarily because the policy states that a standing committee of artists appointed by the City Council will review the project. Well, because there had been so much time that passed between John Olt's project at the zoo in about 1998 and the Veterans Memorial project, there was no standing committee of artists. So we ended up trying to implement the policy with an ad hoc group of artists who had already seen the project and volunteered to be on the arts committee because they had an interest in it, and some of them may have had a bias either for or against the project. So that was one of the things that made that process difficult, because there was no standing committee at the time. Then the arts committee makes a recommendation to the Parks and Recreation Commission, either yay or nay, that they like the project, they recommend it or not. The commission, Parks and Recreation Commission, holds a public hearing, and then they make a recommendation onto the city council either to accept, reject, or modify the proposal, and then the council makes the final decision. So that's the way the policy reads currently, although we have this issue about the committee, since we don't really have a standing committee, and the projects are so few and far between. So that's a little bit of background. That's how the process and the policy works. I'd be happy to answer any questions if I can.
Councilmember Clay.
So, Brady, if we eliminate the committee situation here tonight, what would happen is a proposal would go to the Recreation Commission, and they would chew it up and so on and make recommendation maybe to the Planning Commission, and then it would come to the City Council or directly to the City Council. Is that the way it would work without the...
Yes, if the City Council decided to remove the review process that included the Arts Committee, you would just eliminate that step, and the project will go from staff to the Parks and Recreation Commission.
So, in a way, there would be a review, because there would be public comment and discussion at the Recreation Commission and the Planning Commission if we decided to do that, and so on. So there
That's correct, yeah. Because the policy does mandate a public hearing, yeah. And the commission, our Parks and Recreation Commission, has done a great job, yeah, on a lot of public projects, not necessarily to do with art, in the past, and reviewing those, yeah, and forwarding recommendations onto the council.
Thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
That answered my question.
Councilmember Barreau.
So if the artistic review is eliminated, does that mean that the Parks and Rec members would be responsible for deciding artistic excellence, appropriateness of artwork, all the selection standards?
Yes.
And so if the committee is omitted at this time, we could, in the future, if we ever have a budget item as public art, we could change the policy again at that time? Because right now we don't really have as you said, we didn't have a group ready to review.
Yeah.
But if we evolve to a point in time when, like, there's money around that we could actually have a public arts budget, that's something we could change again at that time?
Sure. The council could at any time amend its policies.
Okay. Thank you.
Refresh my memory, Brady. As I recall, part of the problem with the Veterans Memorial Foundation artwork was the composition of the arts committee and the criteria for selection. Is that as you remember it?
Yes. What happened was it had been so long since the Arts in Public Places policy had even been used that when the Veterans Committee came forward with the project, I think at first no one even thought to implement the Arts in Public Places policy. I caught that after going back through some records and minutes that was a step in the process that we needed to address properly. But because there was no standing arts committee, we had to create an ad hoc committee of artists. And, of course, the Veterans Memorial project had already been in the newspaper and people had seen it. Some people had formed opinions about it, whether they liked it or they didn't like it. And I think one of the things that made it difficult was that when these artists came forward and volunteered to be on the committee, that it appeared as though some of them had already decided they liked it or they didn't like it, or at least that was the perception from some people in the community, that they weren't unbiased. And I can't comment on that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Sure. And from your perspective, do you feel that eliminating the Arts Committee would help to streamline the process and bring the art to the public places faster?
Certainly it would. Yes, I believe so.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Thank you. Well, as I recall, because I remember this started when I was mayor, and then as it transitioned to Mayor Luna, he was the one that suggested we go through this process, and I think it was very tough to have a council pick a committee when you already have a project before you. And I think the opposite would happen. I think if we want to encourage all artists to have input, just like we want our whole community to have input to directly to the commission. I think it actually made it very cumbersome, and folks really didn't quite know how the decision was being made, what the criteria was. And I think this keeps it in a very public, transparent, open process. They're all meetings of appointed bodies or elected bodies. We have the review at the commission level, and everyone would be encouraged to participate.
Excuse me, is there a question in this?
No, I think we haven't gone to
no,
public?
No, we haven't.
Oh, well, I apologize.
Sorry,
we should get there.
Questions only at this point.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, let's go ahead and open this up to the public for a public comment.
Alfonso Tascadero. Several years ago, I was on the Veterans Memorial Foundation, went through this whole process, and the art committee kind of hit us sideways. We weren't expecting it, delayed the whole project 4 or 5 months, and it was unnecessary controversy. You know, my opinions of art are different than other people's. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it. People have different opinions about it. We elect you to make these decisions. I mean, the people you appoint to the Parks and Recs Commission represent you, and then ultimately we elect you directly. You represent the community at large and probably the community's taste. And I recommend just get rid of this layer of bureaucracy. We don't need another layer of artists or group of people decide they are the self-appointed experts. This is a matter of public policy, what you like. If you like it, great. And if you don't like it, you can always say no, and I just encourage you to just eliminate this point of controversy and make sure this doesn't happen again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sandy Jack, a Tascadero resident. Mayor, council members, I was on the Parks and Rec Commission at the time that this came before us, and it dragged everything out. So my recommendation would be that something like that comes, that it goes to the Parks and Rec Committee, and they, at that time, depending upon the type of art in that, set up a committee to give them input of artists that are in that particular, you know, would normally be within that group of artists, and tie that into public comment and do it all at the Parks and Recreation level, so that the control in that, and then a finished product comes back to you for your, you know, consideration and action. So yeah, I think it would streamline, it certainly would streamline the council meetings in that. And it would be, and we would involve the arts community, but the Parks and Rec Commission would have the opportunity to participate in that process. And I think you'd get the best of all worlds out of something like that. Or go to having a standing advisory board made up of maybe arts group from Cuesta and Cal Poly that you could reach out to form a committee, that kind of thing. But keep it at the Parks and Rec level.
Thank you. Hello, Mayor and Council. My name is Karen Sturdivant. I'm a citizen of Atascadero. And I'd like to support the staff's suggestion. And my reason is I'd like to have all of the artists in the community well heard on this. I believe that we need to have all of their input. I think that every single person has an opinion, and especially when it comes to the arts. But I don't think that opinion should be allowed to stop anything from happening. I don't think anybody should be able to say who can and cannot try out to sing or should be able to audition to act.
And I don't think one specific community of people should be able to stop something from even being able to start. And so while I would encourage each and every person in our artistic community to share with us their expertise, and we certainly would all want to be able to hear it, I don't think they should be able to stop the rest of the community from being able to make the decision and then eventually come before the City Council for the final decision. It's also important to me that we all vote you in, and so you're answerable to the community. Having a group of people making the decision that is answerable to nobody makes me far more nervous. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close it and bring it back to the council for discussion. Councilmember Clay.
I'd like to make a motion and then we can do discussion. I'd like to move that we rescind the City of Atascadero's art in public places policy.
I'll second.
Well,
let's get some clarification. Does that mean it goes to the Parks and Rec Commission directly or not?
I think what we'd be asking you to do tonight is to direct us on what you'd like us to do, and we'll bring back the revised policy for you to approve.
Yeah, and I think understanding was staff's suggestion or recommendation is to take out that one component of the policy, which is having an arts committee. It is well defined that if a project comes forward, at least it's clear, it goes through staff, it goes to Parks and Recreation. I think a lot of that policy and procedure in place is helpful. We're just suggesting we streamline it and take out one level. And the specific reason is it's hard to pick a standing committee that might be appropriate for any project. We had a council that picked a group of artists to review a project. However, none of them had experience working with bronzes, and it was a bronze project. And we had other types of artists. So I think it'd be better to have all input. So I wonder if you'd want to consider.
I would like a clarification, if I could. This would be for Councilmember Clay, the motion maker, that you said you'd like to rescind the current arts policy approval process. And would you also like to direct staff to come back with alternative processes?
Certainly, I could amend my motion to come back with an alternative process. Personally, I think that we have a Recreation Commission, we have a Planning Commission, and we have a City Council, and I think that it should start at the Recreation Commission level and come back. But we don't need a standing committee, that's for sure.
I think that was a yes.
Is that correct?
Right.
And
right.
Would you allow the second to be revised?
I would like to make a comment on that. I think there's commissions in the council that are in place that provide ample opportunity for these projects to be reviewed by the public. And I think with our economic conditions, I think we need to cut out the layer of bureaucracy. And I think the City Council can make a decision. I think, from what I hear, most everybody is agreeing that it needs to be changed, and the change is to remove the artist people from the process. No. So I would go along if there was a motion just to eliminate them and leave it so it can go to the Parks and Recreation Commission and then on up to the City Council, and then at a later date, if it becomes apparent that we need to adjust it, we can do it there. And eliminate the extra work that we're directing city staff to do.
See, could I just address what Bob said? See, my idea is not to eliminate the art, is to allow all artists to come to a public hearing and express their concerns, and then let the Recreation Commission, the City Council, make a decision.
Well, I think that's how I understand it. They would come to the Parks and Recreation Commission.
Right.
They wouldn't be a little commission by themselves that can...
Okay, let's go back and let's clarify this. That currently we have a committee that's put together.
We don't have a committee.
Well, there is with our current policy. If I've got this correct, we have an arts committee that's appointed by Parks and Recreation.
It doesn't currently exist.
Is that correct?
It doesn't exist.
The policy reads that there shall be a standing public arts committee that will review proposed projects and then pass a recommendation on to the Parks and Recreation Commission. What I'm hearing, and I do agree with some of the comments, I don't think we need to throw out the current policy if you want to eliminate that step, because we still want to have the application. Exactly. We want to give the commission some guidelines that are already in the policy that would be used either by the Arts Committee or the Commission itself. So it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that there is at least a consensus to eliminate this, the Arts and Public Places Committee yes. of Artists, and just leave that step out. Yes. So in this process, we would just be taking out this part of the process and them making the recommendation to the Commission. So the staff would review the application, and staff would forward it on to the Parks and Recreation Commission. They'd hold a public hearing. Artists would be invited into the process, okay. and it would be that simple.
Okay, I'll restate my motion that we remove the Art Committee from the Art in Public Places policy, and that staff go over the policy and revise it and bring it back.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou.
Yes, and I do want to state, just for, I wanted to discuss, but you went right to roll call, that when you look at the APAC or the Atascadero Public Arts Committee, is that this is really set up if we had a budget for art in our community, which we don't, and that's why it's not really being utilized the way it should. And I'm going to agree at this time that it's not needed. But I think in the future, if economics change and we actually, you know, maybe have a benefactor that moves to town or something, that it would be a good thing to have if we had regular money that was being spent on public art. So I'm going to say yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Fonzie?
Yes, and I'd like to state for the record that I think by putting this policy in place, it will help make this more transparent to the public.
5-0, motion passes.
But I got one question.
Yes.
Have you got enough day to?
Yes, I do. It'll be back on a future consent calendar to adopt it with those changes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item is strategic planning. Okay. We've requested we have a 5-minute break. Let's return to the chambers at 8:20. Going on to strategic planning 2010, phase 4, community vision. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is your fourth report on your strategic planning exercise for 2010. We've talked about finances, employees, and leadership at previous meetings. Tonight, we're going to be talking about community vision and goals. Just in terms of what we're going to be doing tonight, we'll give you a real brief overview of some of the previous goals that this council has, as well as some goals in our general plan and our economic development strategy. We're presenting this to the council for your information and review. These will be topics for discussion at your formal strategic planning effort coming up at the end of the month. We also are looking for you to give us any direction on any additional issues that need to be added to the list for discussion at that meeting, as well as any information that you might need on any of your existing goals in terms of what it would take to implement them, so you could have a more detailed discussion in the future if you choose. So in terms of just community impact, strategic planning is a process that the City Council has used for a number of years. This process is used to help to clarify and prioritize the key goals that the Council has. This is very helpful for staff in terms of allowing us to focus our effort so we're achieving the priorities that the Council sees fit for the community. In 2009, the council had three goals. A lot of it had to do with the economic situation that we found ourselves in, but the first goal was to grow the city's economy and pursue economic development. The second was to enhance public safety, and then the third was to stabilize city finances. So those were the council goals for the last calendar year. General plan was updated in 2002. General plan has a lot of long-range goals and priorities, as well as a number of smaller programs. What we put on the screen here, and they're contained in your council report, I'm not going to read each one of them, is a series of goals, though, that are some of the larger goals that still have not been completed or are still kind of in process. So we want to present these to the council so that these could be discussion items at strategic planning, where you can give us some direction on maybe how to prioritize some of these so that we could continue to make progress on the implementation of the general plan. And then finally, the third set of goals has to do with the economic development strategy. As you'll recall, ADE was hired to put together a report. They've come up with a number of suggestions and recommendations. These are the top ones that they've identified from their reports that they're recommending that the council consider for the first phase, I'd say, of implementation. So they're divided into four sections. There's a series on marketing, which would be to improve the branding or identity of Atascadero to the traveling public as well as the business community. Then there's a series of goals dealing with land use and site development, how to make the community more appealing to business and grow local industry. Tourism asset development, obviously that was identified as a real potential, is the growing tourist industry, especially in the North County, and some of the options that the city might have to better tap into that market. Business and job development, we know we've heard over and over again tonight and throughout the year that growing local jobs, supporting local businesses is a key priority, and that's also reflected in the study, and then also workforce development. So in terms of strategic plan issues, I know the city manager has been working with the council to gather issues for discussion at strategic planning. I have on the screen here a list of those that have been gathered to date. What we thought we would do tonight is confirm those, add any more. We're not looking to debate the merits of them, but just to have a list so that they can be debated at the end of the month at strategic planning. So that pretty much wraps up the presentation. So what we're looking for is find out, do you need any more information, not tonight, but before strategic planning, on any of the listed goals that we already have, and do you want to add anything else to this list?
I think Councilmember Kelly had it first.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes, I'd like to put something on the agenda so we can discuss that we have adequate manpower within your community development department. It seems like a lot of the issues you have up there are going to be taken care of by that department. And I know currently we are understaffed due to a couple of people being on medical leave, but I think we need to keep our pace of running permits and applications through at a reasonable time period, and I think we need to address the manpower and hopefully try to get you some additional help in there.
Okay, we'll add that to the list.
Councilmember Clay.
Next.
No? Okay. Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, I think staff did a great job, and I certainly agree with our goals. Number one, grow the city's economy and pursue economic development. I was a little surprised looking on page 73 at the tourism asset development section. Again, you know, we have a new council, and I remember going through this process with some of the public processes and developing this. And I know the items listed here, for example, explore feasibility of a wine museum, apply for designation as gateway to Carrizo Plain National Monument. These were things that were mentioned, but I don't know if those would be priority tourism asset development ideas that I'd like at least have a little brief discussion of strategic planning, because the types of things I would see as tourism assets would be like our Lake Park Zoo Memorial, Stadium Park, and we all already have collaboration on our tourism partners, I think, under marketing. But I think a very brief discussion, we might come up with some different assets than are listed here for tourism.
I'm ready, Roberta.
Okay, Councilmember Clay.
Yeah. Who is responsible for all those suggestions?
Those suggestions to date have been turned in by each of you.
Yes, City Council. Okay, and is, you know, I was thinking ways that the redevelopment agency monies can be used to stimulate business.
Any others? Councilmember Kelly?
Maybe if we could do a five-year projection for the redevelopment agency of what monies we anticipate coming in from taxes and the release of the $1.5 million guarantee for the Colony Square, when that money will be available so we can plan projects on down the road in the future.
Any others? Councilmember Burrow?
I think it's really important that we implement as much of the ADE five-year strategy as we can. I'd like to get some more information on what it would take to complete the branding process, to establish agreed-upon message for use throughout the marketing program. And then also, you know, in the whole marketing thing, we just entered in an agreement with Steve Martin to take care of a lot of our tourism, and how much is going to be covered by him on that, and do we need to think about how we're going to implement some of these other items under marketing. So for me, on the list, implementation of all aspects of the five-year ADE strategy is something I think we need to discuss in terms of whether it's phasing or are we only going to focus on one part this year, and what would be our timeline for how we're going to implement that.
Thank you. Councilmember O'Malley?
Yeah, and actually I just want to agree with that. I especially, we have two studies on the table, our economic development study and the tourism study, and I assume that we will be looking at that as under, you know, economic development, which is number one, and I agree. I'd like to kind of give a little thought to when we're going to phase those in and really get a clear direction on what we're going to target to get accomplished, certainly in the next 2 or 3 years as we position for recovery.
Is that clear?
I think so. It sounds like we're talking about
the same
thing. Plan to implement the entire AD study, right?
Correct. Yeah. Any others? Okay. I was approached during the break, and it was suggested that the Parks and Recreation Commission be encouraged to identify and list places where it would be appropriate to put public art and to encourage artists to step up to the plate.
That's not bad.
Can we put that one down?
Yeah, can you repeat, places for public art?
It would be to direct the Parks and Recreation Commission to identify and list appropriate places for public art and encourage artists to step up to the plate.
See, and you're suggesting we have that on our strategic planning time that we might talk that through a little bit
just
more?
Just a little bit, yes.
Yeah.
And another one that I'd like to kick around just a little bit, because I'm not sure how to word this and get across what I'm trying to say. But there's been some restrictions on the corner of San Anselmo and El Camino by the Kmart shopping center for placing a business or restaurant or other because of some traffic issues. And I think with Walmart projected to come in, Kmart may have some economic problems surviving. And if we can encourage some kind of business by reviewing those restrictions and making it more business friendly, it might help that shopping center to survive.
I would agree.
So I don't know how to word that, but perhaps it's to review land use restrictions for San Anselmo, El Camino corner.
And I'm wondering for staff, too. I agree. That may or may not fit for strategic planning, where we might be dealing with broader things. That sounds like something we direct, like Warren, to take it, and our city engineer to take a look at and bring it back as a.
It might be item. A subset of our economic development. I agree.
Right. Yeah.
And I just want to make sure it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. So.
Sounds good.
The Kmart Plaza. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there any others? Okay, let's go ahead and open this up for public comment, if there's anybody who'd like to speak on this subject.
Hello, Len Colomarino, Tascadero resident. I just want to say something about the ADE study and the tourism study. The city went and got these studies done, and we know that there have been others before. I think it's very important to try to implement what's in there, and you've said that, and that's very healthy. And maybe what I'm saying doesn't amount to something that warrants adding another item here, but it occurs to me that we might benefit by looking at something that's done in the private sector. I know I've been involved in drafting a lot of complex contracts where we've negotiated a transaction and two companies are entering into a relationship or a course of dealing over a long period of time. And what we always do in those cases is we assign somebody from the company to administer the contract to make sure that my client or the company that that's working together here, that we are complying. And, you know, there are certain periodic reviews that are done to make sure that we're in compliance, that we're doing all these different things. It occurs to me that something similar might be done with these studies to try to have somebody looking at this periodically to see what's happening to implement the studies. In order to do anything well, you almost always need to measure your achievement. And it would seem to apply here that if you're going to find out, if you're going to really try to implement these things, there should be a process developed to ensure that there's some action being taken to comply or to meet these goals, to implement them, and some effort made to measure the success in doing that. I think any achievement-oriented exercise, that's part of it, whether it's athletic or academic or in business, to have a procedure set up to monitor the implementation and to measure it. So I plant this seed for what it's worth. I know that you're going to be pursuing the strategic planning later on, and it seems to me this way might be something to focus on. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak?
Alfonsi, a Tascadero resident. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't see anything on there about Stadium Park and getting it open for public use and things like that. And the other one,
I mentioned it.
You have something on there about code enforcement interaction with property managers. I don't know if this is included or not in that.
But that is on there, yes.
It is on there, mm-hmm. And getting them to provide absentee landowner names and things like that. Okay, thank you.
Dan Chacon, Tascadero resident. Since economic development is the number one focus, and I support that, I would suggest that along that line, instead of making it very general, to start bringing it down to more specific things that you can grab a hold of, that you can measure, and Mr. Colmenero just stated, I would suggest that you would identify and secure partnerships that enhance economic development. You know, so I'm very specific in identifying those partnerships and then determine and measure how well you do with those one way or the other.
Thank you.
Joanne. I apologize for putting our strategic plan goals in front of you at community forum. I realize now that I inserted that at the wrong place in the council. So I do hope you review that list of our concerns and our goals and see if there's anything in addition you wanted to add up there. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else approaching the podium, I'm going to close the public comment and bring it back for further discussion. Councilmember Clay?
Yeah, is Stadium Park on the list?
Well, I suggested that under tourism asset development.
Okay, let's put that on there. And then In regards to the ADE study, you know, a lot of that depends on the private sector, and right now the private sector is not doing too good, so we can wish a lot of things, but the private sector has to be bubbling before they really happen.
Okay.
So let me...
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yeah, and just since a couple folks have brought it up, in case I wasn't clear, when I said take a look at tourism asset development, and I added some things, specifically two of them are on the chamber list, Stadium Park and the Tasker Lake Park Zoo Memorial. So I think it would be pretty quick for council to designate some different assets than is listed in the current plan, and could also have some direction on how we could specifically improve those and get those on a action plan that's measurable.
Did I get them all? Stadium Park, Lake Park Zoo, was there a fourth?
Well, the Lake Park Zoo Memorial I always link together, and Stadium Park I think are the two that aren't in the current tourism asset list, so I wanted to make sure those are added if we can.
Any other comments?
Well, just a comment so people don't get their hopes up, because, you know, we have a list of 20, 30 things, and when it comes down to strategic planning, if we're lucky, if we get through five or six or seven, are the most important ones. So it's, I think a good start is to have them on the list, and then we recognize them. But to go, you know, that would take a whole week of strategic planning to go through that list. And we take out what we think is the best, and we do the best we can with it.
Yeah, and that's partly why I worded it the way I did. I'm saying we start with our economic development plan. It has a subset on tourism asset development, and underneath that is where I would stick the Stadium Park and the Lake Park Zoo. So we want to support our existing economic plan, and we want to, as has been said, let's get into some specifics and some measurable steps, like we have acquired access. When are we going to get it going? We've worked with ALPS. What are the action steps for us as a city? I think we can get a little direction and meet on a couple of those categories.
Okay, hold on. We have more comments. Sure. Councilmember Bureau.
Well, I first want to say I want to thank staff for kind of restructuring how we do strategic planning and kind of drawing this out so we don't try to pressure ourselves and trying to do it in one evening and one day, because what we've done in the last, like, three or four meetings, we tried to cram in, you know, which made it even harder to get to the list. So I'm just glad the list isn't too long. I think last time the list was like 3 pages long, and it was really overwhelming, and we really shortchanged it. And I think what's going to happen with a lot on this list is we'll decide which things we want to, you know, put on a future council meeting and which one has support. And it probably, not everything's going to get a lot of light of day, but at least they're on the list, and we know that there are things that we're thinking about, because you got to always be thinking and planning for the future. So I think that's kind of what strategic planning is all about. So I'm looking forward to the day. Thank you.
Very good. And I just like to state that I like the way that it was Dan Chacon worded secure partnerships that enhance economic development. And I think staff has worked hard to do this in the last year when you pursued economic development, even talking about AB 811 and partnerships with the county and other vehicles that we're talking about, like the Merced Business Center. So perhaps it doesn't need to be on the list, but I think staff should be commended for working towards that goal. If there's no other discussion, let's see where we're at. Council announcements and reports. Councilman.
Well, I'd just like to announce again that our restaurants are going through a rough time, and some of them are going out, unfortunately, and others are doing a little better. I guess as one closes, that means a little more business for another. So I would encourage people that work out of town, that shop out of town, and go to the movies out of town to please come home here and eat in a Tascadero.
Okay. Any other Councilmember Bebro?
Just, I've been to a couple of new businesses in town. Nature's Touch, which is a local produce, promotes local farms and organic produce. And also Fig Good Food, is also a great place to go eat. And both of them, I asked them, well, how was the process of coming to Atascadero? And they were just nothing but accolades about how easy it was. They were so glad they came here. It was so much easier than other cities they've worked with. And I was really happy to hear that. And I think Traffic Way is really coming along in terms of having a lot of new businesses. So we have to really support the new people that come to town. They're really sticking their necks out during this economic time. And I encourage everyone to shop local. And then the second one is I wanted to commend staff. You guys got this on email, and this will probably be out to the public soon. It's a City of Atascadero Smart Energy Program, and that's our AB 811 program. And they've come up with a flyer for the public talking about it and getting people interested in it. So they did a really good job. I don't know if everyone had a chance to review it, but it's really a good summary of what we're doing and providing for our residents. So I wanted to commend them for that. Thank you.
Any others? I don't know whether this is the appropriate time to bring this up, but I will anyway. Since I'm the mayor, I have that option. I'd like to encourage any local coffee provider to encourage them to bring their coffee pot to the city council meetings and place it outside with a sign that states what their business is. And we'd be happy to give them some business for free while we're in the council chambers. I'm sure there would be some spillover on other days. So for what it's worth. Moving on to committee reports, let's go through, let's start with Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley, excuse me.
Maybe you would like to announce your new appointments first before we go through the list?
I believe that was to be handed out.
I'm not sure if it made it into your packet or not.
But basically, the appointments will stay very close to what they are. I will make sure that you get an email with your appointments.
Okay, well, I'll take it away then.
And
I'm just finishing up with the Economic Vitality Corporation. I believe that's going to be taken on by Mayor Fonzi, and that was a pleasure to work with that organization for a good 7 years. I think it's been very helpful that we are all the Finance Committee now. I think it's a priority for all of us, and it also gets an opportunity for us to all work together on that. Third area I'm involved with is, of course, the League of California Cities, and as you may be aware, we are constantly banding together as cities to fight off the state taking away funds locally, and that's probably our biggest threat. Just like all of you as individual taxpayers, I have to be careful of the raids. We as the city have to do that as well, and there is a campaign going to be coming up. We're going to be participating in trying to get some more laws passed that really limit how the state can just at will take funds away that have really been, that we've earned here by developing our own economic base like sales tax. So we'll be participating in that more and talking about that. I did take over as president for the San Luis Council of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. That's made up of the 5 county supervisors and one representative from each city. And we deal with major projects like the 41-101 interchange that it will be completed this summer. And we have some opportunities to get some more funds on some projects coming up, but our biggest challenge is severe raids on transportation funds, which could well spill over to us in losing funds from our roads program. And so I think it's something we're going to have to really keep in touch on. Part of being president of the COG is it makes me the county's representative to the state council of governments, and something I'm going to bring to you guys is they have a legislative platform that apparently our county is kind of a swing vote on, and there are some items that I'm not sure I would prioritize the same as been prioritized in the back, and I'd like to bring those to you and then also take it on to our county to see, and I think it has to do with prioritizing regional transportation over other items, and there's just a lot of things that would be good to have that discussion on. And with that, I did want to mention, as far as the Regional Water Quality Control Board, our city was a leader in joining now all the other cities in our county, along with the county, to participate in the joint effort for a hydro modification controls implementation and process where we're really working together as multiple jurisdictions. Remember when we couldn't even say geohydro modification just a year or two ago? And now it just rolls off like that. And what's good is for a while we were feeling pretty threatened in our community with very short timeline to develop some possibly costly ways to deal with protecting our watershed. And what's fortunate is we've kind of come together as cities, and now we're working together, all the cities, and are taking a longer process and developing some methods that we're going to be very cost effective for our community. And I just appreciate our staff. They're not here right now, but our city engineer and assistant city engineer have been leaders in our region and in working on those items.
Thank you. Councilmember Barrow.
I guess the biggest update I have is about the Homeless Services Governing Board. It's actually called HSOC, Homeless Services Oversight Council. Now it's called Oversight Council. And at our last meeting, they showed us the 2009 homeless enumeration summary and video. And I'd like to preview it again before I bring it back, but I would like to show it at a meeting. I believe it was less than 10 minutes. It was really short, but it brought out a lot of facts about the enumeration. And the enumeration is basically a count of the homeless in our county, and it's a visual count, and every fifth person was surveyed. So it was done in 2006 and in 2009. So in 2006, it was 2,800 were counted. In 2009, it was 3,800. So it was quite a big jump. And then this is kind of a lead-in for the end of March. There's going to be the 2010 census, which again is very important that we get an accurate count of our homeless and just people in general, because it affects our federal funding on a lot of different levels. So the census is really important. So I would like to be able to bring this back to show, and that way we kind of just heightens our awareness of the need in our county and in our city, if that's okay with everyone. And right now, we are meeting every month, so it's been quite a commitment trying to get to all the meetings. But it's interesting, and it's developing. We're in the process of hiring an executive director, so it's pretty exciting time.
Do you feel that you need an alternate in place?
Wade just assigns a staff person if I can't make it, and I did have her go one time because I thought it was every other month, and then all of a sudden it was every month, and I'm like, okay, I can't make this one because, you know, where I work, I have to, like, give them a lot of notice, so.
That item, and I think it would be good to have that brought back. I'd like staff to make sure they coordinate with ECHO, because to make sure ECHO folks are
right,
there that
okay,
night,
ECHO.
They might have some input
right,
on that, too.
Right. So if not at the very next meeting, we could maybe just do it as a presentation so it doesn't have to have a staff report or anything, but we'll just ask for ECHO, who is our main homeless provider here.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes. First, I'd like to compliment Tom on being president of SLOCOG. That's quite an accomplishment, and I know it's quite a chore, Tom, so I'd like to compliment you there. And I'd like to say that every time I see one of those homeless folks out there, I just thank God that that's not me. And I know it's tough out on the streets. And before I say no report, I'd just like to say I've eaten lunch at the Hollywood Diner and at Hoover's the last week, and both were great, and I'd encourage anybody to eat there. I had a good lunch at both places, and I'm trying to practice what I preach. No report.
Thank you. And Councilmember Kelly, and I was going to ask you before you started if you would be willing to continue on as a economic development alternate, and I would hope that you would be willing to go to those meetings with me.
I can do that.
Thank you. Any report?
Oh, I have no report.
Okay. I have some reports for Air Pollution Control District. And this ties in with the mayor's meeting roundtable. I don't know if you followed in the newspaper, but the APCD's report was leaked to the press. And apparently the director of the APCD met with certain members of city councils in the South County and told about this particulate matter report that's coming out regarding Oceano Dunes and dust and sand going up on Napomo Mesa. As a member of the economic of the Air Pollution Control District, I have not seen that report. But yet the Tribune has come up with an endorsement of the report before it's even hit the public. So this may be something that you are contacted by the public. I have been contacted repeatedly by people who would like to have seen the report and cannot respond because they haven't got it in their hand. So I just want you to be aware that this is becoming a sticky issue. There's been a lot of hard feelings among the mayors. They're not happy that they haven't had a copy of the report. And obviously this can have some economic repercussions for all the cities along that corridor on, of 101. So just heads up on that one. The Mayor's Roundtable also talked about transit funds that are in jeopardy.
Yes.
Our governor is proposing to change the way that gas taxes are collected, and the gas taxes would actually go down, but it would eliminate the transit funds that go to cities. So this may be something that comes before us. We may not have any transit funds shortly if we aren't proactive in fighting this. And that concludes my report. Any individual determinations or actions on the parts of staff or the council?
Well, just, going up the coast, and there was a sign there, let's legislate fun. And I think, the dunes, people need recreation. I hope they don't, Air Pollution Control District doesn't muddle things up too much. But other than that, that's all.
Any other? Seeing none, I adjourn the meeting at 8:55, and we'll meet again on January 26th. And we move on to our next meeting, which is the Atascadero Public Financing Authority. And could we have a roll call, please? I'm sorry, Marcia.
It's okay. No,
jumped too quick.
I had to turn the page. Excuse me. Board Member Bayrou.
Here.
Board Member Kelly.
Here.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Malley.
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie.
Here.
All present.
And then we'll move on to, do we have an agenda to approve, Marcia? It okay. Says roll call
this,
on
this
that.
We do need to approve.
I move to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Board Member Bayrou.
Yes.
Board Member Kelly.
Yes.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Malley.
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Okay, I open this up to community forum. If anybody would like to speak on any item over which this board has authority, please approach the podium. Seeing none, I close that portion of the agenda and bring it back for board announcements and reports. Any announcements? Reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar, which consists of board meeting minutes of January 13th, 2009. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Move approval.
Been moved by... moved and seconded. That would be Councilmember Clay, Councilmember Bayrou.
It could be a voice vote or a roll vote.
Okay. Let's
roll
just call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Are there any other items of business to be considered tonight?
Nope.
Seeing none, I adjourn the meeting.
Yay.